of being responsible for your own actions, your own choices, your own deeds. I don't like laziness. I don't like lazy people. I'll be honest with you about that. I'm not trying to be curt this morning at all. I'm not trying to be terse or anything. I'm just trying to state a fact. I believe that we have a choice in our life. And, I kind of live by a philosophy, either get busy or get out of my way. And I don't mean that to be mean this morning. I'm not trying to open up on a massive negative. But if I do open up negative, it's only upward from here, I guess. Amen. But I do believe that. I believe we're built to work. I believe man was put in the garden to till the ground. I believe we were put in this earth to labor. And we get tired. We get worn out by the time we got home yesterday. My blessed wife, boy, she was worn slap out. We were busy from 5 to about 5:30, 5 in the morning, about 5:30 last night. And man, she sat down and praise the Lord, she didn't have the energy to cook. She didn't. And so made a little burger bowl, made her some beef, and she liked it, amen. I didn't want to make it too good now because I don't want that responsibility all the time, but made myself a little steak on the Barbie and went from there. But I'm saying that to say this, guys. We all have that time in our life when we get tired. We get worn down. We get worn out. That's part of life. I understand that. Beloved, everybody gets tired, but when you get tired, it doesn't mean it's time to quit. Sometimes it's time to rest, and there's a proper time for rest. Sometimes it's time to slow down, but it doesn't mean it's time to quit. And so when I say that, guys, I say that with all due respect of understanding the physicalities of the human body, the human mind, and the human emotions. But I say it on the backside of understanding my God as well. I understand the power and the might of my Holy Spirit that is within me. I understand that when I can't go, He can continue going on. And I've also understood to learn to be content therewith, whatever state I'm in. And, guys, that does mean you got to be satisfied with where you are in life. It does mean we need to be content and grateful for what God has given us. And I'm going to encourage you today. This has been the theme all last week. It was the topic of our message yesterday morning at Faith RX. It was the topic of the encouragement video that went out on Wednesday instead of Thursday or instead of Tuesday. Be grateful. Studies have revealed that grateful people, those who exercise gratitude on a regular basis, are happier people. And I'm going to encourage you today to try to exercise that in your life. Now, guys, every Sunday morning, except for probably two this year, we've gone over this series known as Mindset, and it's based upon the idea of the Christian mindset, having the proper mindset in your life so that you can be a successful Christian. Now, when I say successful Christian, in the preaching world and in our circles, people equate success sometimes with a packed out church. With the more people that come to church, the more successful you are. Now, those who have common sense, we understand that's not true, amen. Because we know a lot of arenas are going to be packed out in the state here, in the states, in about 6 to 7 hours, and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ won't even be preached, amen. We understand that numbers do not equate success. We know plenty of men who have been quite successful to the world standards as according to finance. And yet those men are not good men. They did not achieve that through proper measures. So numbers do not equate success in a person's life. How we do something and why we do it and for whom we do it for is the equivalent of success in the Christian world. And in my opinion, beloved, there is no other world out there than the Christian world. What I want to do and what I pray to God that you should want to do is to draw more people outside of their world and pull them into the Christian world. Amen. And if you're going to do that in any way, shape, form, or fashion, be it one person over the next 10 years or be it 10,000, you're going to have the proper mindset to live that life. And beloved, I want to encourage you today, as we come into this seventh topic this morning, I want to encourage you that with everything that we went over, from the disciplined mindset to the decisions that you must make, from the direction that you'll go in once those decisions are made, from the defense that is set up to defend the ground that you have been given, to the defeats that we will face in our life without fail, to what we looked at last week, or last 2 weeks, the desire that is within us, which will either draw us away from God or drive us toward Him as we delight in His name. Beloved, you're going to have a mindset. And when all the dust settles and you do all of those things, maybe for a short period of time, there is something else that's going to be required to complete the loop, I should say. And beloved, you're going to have to be determined. You're going to have to determine it in your mind that you're going to do something that is more pleasing to God than to yourself sometimes. You're going to have to determine in your heart and your mind, beloved, that you are going to do the right things to have that Christian mindset, to reach that level of Christian success in your own life that may not line up with what people in this world want you to do. It may not line up with what your counterparts think you should do. But may I encourage you this morning that if it lines up with the living, precious Word of God, you'll be in good company. Amen. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to our text verse for this entire series. If you'll look in Romans in chapter 12. And once you get there, I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. We'll have a brief word of prayer. And we'll get into what the Lord, I believe, what the Lord would have us to hear today. And this quite very well may be the final sermon of this series. This is the sixth month of the year, just brand new, just barely, the 2nd of June. We've been going strong on this series since January, and in my heart, I figured it would take all the way up at least to June to really and truly establish what I felt the Lord wanted me to establish in this mindset. Now, you know, while I'm away, if God gives me some other topics, we'll run the completion of this year out with mindset. But that's going to be up to Him. I'm not gonna do it just for the sake of having a series continue on. And if today be the last day on the mindset series, then so be it. I hope and pray that it has been a blessing to you. I hope and pray that it has changed your walk and changed your Christian life. But I may say this morning, I say this with fervency of heart, mind, and soul, that if you don't lock into today's topic in the Mindset series, all of the previous topics will be for naught this morning. So Romans chapter 12, stand with me as we honor the reading of the Word of God, if you're willing and able to this morning. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we again come before you. We thank you, Lord, for who and what you are. We thank you for all that you have done. And Lord, I publicly thank you for this precious, pure, perfect word that you've given us here today. Father, I pray that we would not step outside the bounds of Holy Scripture. And I ask of you this morning, dear God, that you would sanctify the words that may come out of my mouth, dear Lord. And I pray that, dear God, that I would not venture off into opinions and ideas and thoughts. But, dear God, we would stay right where we need to within the inspired Word of God. And I thank you for that today. So, Lord, I give you honor, glory, and praise. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated. I opened up this morning and mentioned a few things to you and asked you a couple of questions about in our life when struggles come, when problems arise, when issues may face you in your life, or maybe your days, or maybe your morning, and maybe you had a couple mornings this week, couple afternoons this week that wasn't as pleasant as the other ones, and maybe you had some struggles, some stress, and maybe you are a little bit tired today. Maybe you've had a busy 7 days. I mentioned to you about our week and how busy it was, and again I talked about this back in February, this idea of quitting. And I asked you, how many people over here have ever just been tempted to quit? I even went over a few things that you should quit in your life, worldly things, drinking and swearing and carousing and eyes looking to where they shouldn't look and being in places that you should not be for testimony's sake. There are some things in the person's life that you should quit. Amen. You should quit saying sowing discord amongst the brethren. You should quit living a sinful lifestyle. You should quit those things. And listen, man, those things you should quit. If you've been saved for any length of period of time, and if you've been in this church, you've heard enough preaching to fill and load your wagon up to where you have the choice, and at least you know how to do the right thing. So there's some things in our life that we should quit. There's some life, there's some things in our days that we shouldn't ever quit. But I believe we're tempted at times to quit serving God. I believe people are tempted at times to just quit being kind to others. Now, I know you've heard men get up and say, bless God, I've never in my life ever been tempted whatsoever to quit on the Lord. And that may be true, but I know people deal with it because I get the emails, I get the letters, I get the phone calls, I get the text messages from people in the ministry who's been in the ministry for 20, 30, 40 years. And man, they're just ready to quit. And we're all tempted like that when discouragement comes into our life, when failure comes into our days, when loneliness begins to creep in behind the glass houses that many of us live in. But it's then, guys, when that temptation in your life to quit doing right, when that temptation in your life comes in to quit going to church, to quit reading your Bible, to quit praying, maybe to quit on your marriage, to quit on parenting, to quit on being a good son, a good daughter. Hey, listen, when those things come into your life, when that temptation's there, understand this. Someone's already been through that temptation, and some have had the victory, and others have failed. Amen? You know, somebody's already dealt with that, but remember this here. God's never going to quit on you, so don't quit on Him. Guy, hey, listen, you know, when your marriage gets tight, and when your parental position gets tight, when your place at work gets tight, when your self in the community gets tight because of the lifestyle that you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, you are tempted sometimes to just say, look, man, I'm not doing this anymore. I read of a church one time sent out by the mission field. I believe it was they were sent out of Great Britain. They were sent out into India. And that church was there for 50 years and only had one convert in 50 years. Had one person attending church in a 50-year span. And the mission board came together and they sat down and they talked and they chatted. And they said, listen, let's just dissolve this thing. Let's bring these people home. We're wasting money. We're wasting time. Let's just bring them back here and put them in a service, a better service suited for them. And one old boy in that meeting lifted up his hand. He said, listen, I understand it's been 50 years. They got one convert. I understand it's been 50 years. They got one person coming to their little gathering together. But is not that one person worth the light of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is not that one soul worth the light to India? And so the vote went on, and they voted. They said, let the light so shine in India through this one person. 50 years later, that little old church had planted over 1,000 churches throughout the country. It had seen thousands come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and thousands of men of God called into the mission field and the office of pastor and evangelized in that country. And I mean thousands of them, but yet there was a vote one day that could have ended it all. If everybody would have said, let's just quit. Discouragement, guys, failure and loneliness comes in. But it's at that time when we're reminded what Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove. Can I stop there just for a second? If you're reading that in your Bible this morning, which I hope that you are, he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'm going to ask you to put a 20-year pause where that comma is. In our language, a comma is a pause. A comma is a time to stop and ponder what you just read and be prepared for what you're about to read. I can see the Apostle Paul in AD 58, unaware of what was about to await him in Jerusalem, his arrest and his carrying off to Caesarea and finally to Rome, and then his death in AD 68, just 10 years later, of penning this letter by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. I can imagine when whatever he did right there, and he says, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I can just picture him in my heart of hearts setting that pen down and just thinking. Looking back over the years, the 20 some odd years that he had been saved and serving the Lord up until that point. Looking back at the heartache and the loss that he faced. Looking back at the family members he tried to win and they spat upon him. Looking back at his own countrymen who he said that he would give up his own salvation that his people be saved. Looking back at the time when his own kinsmen, his own family members in Cilicia, would have beat him with rods 5 times, 40 stripes save one. I can imagine that he sat there and he said, and be not conformed to this world. But listen, this world would have quit a long time ago. I can just picture the mighty Apostle Paul is when he says to be not conformed to this world, thinking in his heart that, my goodness, I've lost everything, but I've gained eternity. I've lost my family, my mom, my dad. I've lost all these people, but I've gained Jesus Christ. And we've seen these souls saved. And he's writing unto a group of people of whom he has yet to meet. And he puts their pen down. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he just thought, had I not had a renewed mind, I would have quit when I suffered loss of all things. Beloved brethren, you're going to have to be determined if you're going to be disciplined. Beloved, you're going to have to determine in your heart today to make the right decisions if you want to go into the right direction. You're going to have to determine to defend what God has given you when this world attacks. You're going to have to determine to own your own defeat and learn from it. And choose the right desire that's going to draw you in and delight in God. Paul says that you may prove. Beloved, there may be a 20-year span between the renewing of your mind, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Some may have been saved for 40, 50, 60 years, and they've yet to prove that perfect will of God. Oh, the challenge is great this morning, beloved. But for us to sit by stagnant, for us to sit by complacent in our Christianity, let me say this, for us to be lazy in the work that God has given us to do, be it in your home, your community, your street, no matter where it may be, listen, it's not proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Refusing to be conformed to this world sometimes, quite often, includes a simple refusal to quit the things that you should be doing. Avoiding being conformed to the ways of this world sometimes just mean keep going on. Sometimes it means, if not all the time, quit doing the things you ought not do. We know within the Christian mindset, we spoke about 3 important things in the discipline mindset. That in order for success to function in the Christian life with a disciplined mindset, there must be a vision and plans and goals. I believe that to be true. I believe that he that aims at nothing hits his target every single time. I believe that in order for you to hit your target, you got to see what you're aiming for. Beloved, our thinking must change in order for us to see change in our life and the lives of those that are around us. And in order to be changed, in order to be transformed, if you will, there must be discipline in our life. But within that disciplined mindset, my friend, before the vision, before the goals, before the plan can ever come to fruition, before anything can be clearly done for them, there must be a process. There must be a process that is in our life. The process starts with discipline. It's fed by the correct decisions. It's marked by the proper direction. It's defended once it's there. Listen, certain defeats will come in. They'll be part of the path. But when desire plays this huge role in the aftermath, we understand that the process will enable us to be determined in the Christian life that God has given us to serve. And yes, you can have all six of these things going for you. You can have the discipline. You can have that. I won't even go back over again. You can have all of those going for you for a short period of time. But it's being determined that's going to make the difference. When the process is abandoned, then what? It's all for nothing. When the process is abandoned, then what? I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to have the verse up on the screen, but we'll be referring to this throughout the duration of the sermon this morning. But I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 is where we're going to be. I want you to have it in your Bible so that you can refer to it later on. You're welcome to read it from the screen at the present moment. The Bible says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now, beloved, in verse 2, we see the word determined. Now, we use the word determined in our life today in a different way than it originally was written. We use the word determined. Sometimes we interchangeably use that word with the word defiant. And I don't necessarily agree with that. We should not use that because it's an inappropriate term. It's a loose definition. But biblically speaking, this particular word in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2 is defined to be separate, to put asunder, to pick out, to select, to choose, to approve, to esteem, to prefer, to be of opinion, to deem, to think, to be of an opinion, and to be resolved. But here is the word that we find, I think, is the most biblical definition of determined. And that's the simple word decree. You say, "Well, preacher, why is that?" The word determined shows up 30 times in 30 verses in the Bible. However, the word determined is translated from multiple different Greek words, and yet they all have one commonality to their definition. And that is the word decree and or judge. They all hint to the meaning that it's settled. When we see that word pop up, we all get the idea that this is a settled resource. This is a settled statement. Not intentions, not wishes, not wants, but it's settled. So let me ask you this question this morning as we get the ball rolling. Are you settled today? Not complacent. Stay away from that. I'm not speaking of being complacent in your Christian life. But rather, are you settled in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you locked into the process of which is required to be successful in serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you content today and saying, "I'm going to serve Jesus Christ until the day I die"? Success is not measured by how many songs a person has written or how many sermons they have preached. Success is not the acquisition of degrees or the number of people following us in this life. Matter of fact, success is not found in how many of anything, hands down. But rather, success is found in the resolve to see the right thing through, no matter the conflict, no matter the slow movement, no matter the opposition. I'll say that to you again. Success is found in the resolve to see the right thing through, no matter the conflict, no matter the slow movement, and no matter the opposition. Success is found within the process, my friend. Success is not even found in the vision, the plan, and the goals. Those are the ends. And yet the process is the means. Success is found within that process. It's found in our hearts when our hearts are settled in Christ as a child of God, without controversy, without doubt, without fail, without falter, and may I say without floating. I don't like floating. Beloved, we were not meant to float through life. You've heard me hammer this down throughout this entire series, that we were not meant to just float. We were meant to lock in. A lot of these guys out there say, well, bless God, you know, I'm going to get up. I don't preach with sermon notes because I'm going to get up and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit of God lead me, take me around. And I understand what they're trying to say. But when they say, I don't believe you ought to preach with sermon notes, I say to them, I can tell you don't believe that. Amen. Because I have no idea where you're going when you're preaching. You're like a pendulum on a clock. Now, I believe we need to have a liberty. I don't believe you need to get locked into the notes. Preach what God's laid on your heart. But at the same time, guys, God's a God of order. Amen. God's not a God of floating. You see, my friend, the process is important today. The process within all of this mindset that we've talked about, the very process itself, is what enables, when you're determined to have this Christian mindset, it is what completes that circle to bring you back to discipline. If you hit all the other six on the head and you're just hammering those away, and yet you leave off the fact that you're determined to serve the Lord and determined to do right, one by one, the discipline, the decisions, the direction, the defense, the defeat, all of those things will fall by the wayside. Because the process is what keeps you going. The process, my friend, is you being disciplined enough to do the things you don't want to do that is going to help you reach the success that you need to, and not doing the things that you want to do that's going to hinder you in the success that you need to. That's the process. It's that simple. You see, my friend, to be determined in the process helps us, point number two, keep the plot. It helps us keep the plot. Verse number two says there, if you will, looking in your scriptures, again, it's not on the screen, but verse number two, it says to know. Paul had said there that he determined not to know anything among you. It says to know. That word to know, that phrase means to see, to perceive with the eyes, to perceive by any of the other senses, to perceive, to notice, to discern, or to discover. But here's what I want you to take away from this definition. It means to turn the eyes and the mind and attention toward anything. It means to observe. Beloved, there is a plot within the game called life. The days that we've been given on this earth aren't to be filled with just things of just complete nothingness. And yes, there's moments and there's phases of uncertainty in our life, and that's going to be part of a life. I understand it. But there will be times when we are searching for the specificity of the will of God. And that's fine, but that does not mean the plot ever changes. Beloved, within the plot of the Lord, you know what's found? The plot is found within the will of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 tells me the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the will of God today. That is the will of God, that every soul be saved. And yet we know that every soul will not be saved. As a matter of fact, we know the majority of souls will not be saved. But that's God's will. The plot is found in the Lord's will. But it's formulated through His Word. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that means mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see that? Unto all good works. I think a lot of our men are missing that point. Amen? I mean, you ought to work. Paul said, don't work, don't eat. Amen? I raised my children up to understand, they don't work, they don't eat. They can become teenagers, they forgot that. I'm just kidding. Amen. The plot is found within the will of the Lord. It's formulated through His Word. It's finalized through His Word. Colossians 1, verses 27 through 29. To whom, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 30 to 29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, watch this, which worketh in me mightily. Listen, beloved. All we have heard this year on Sundays, every little intricate details of the Christian mindset becomes dependent upon this very point today, and that is to be determined to do what God has called us to do. Determined within the plot, inside the process, found in the will of God, formulated through the Word of God, and finalized through the work of God. I've said it multiple times in this series. Anyone can do anything for a short period of time. Anyone can do anything for a short period of time. Anyone can go to the gym for a short period of time. Anyone can eat right for a short period of time. Anyone can go and work in demolishing houses for a short period of time. Anyone can hold a job for a short period of time. But one monkey doesn't make a circus. And that's just the bottom line. All that is playtime. All that is playtime, my friend. You get a monkey and a monkey's jumping around, and you see the little guy in the cartoons with the monkey on a string, and he's sitting there playing the music box, and the monkey's got a tin can, and oh, it's so cute, blah, blah, blah. And you know, that's not a circus. That's just playtime. That's just there to take your money. Anyone can do something for a short period of time. Things are not always going to go the way that we wanted them to go. They're not always going to work out in the way that we think they're going to work out. I mean, look at what Paul says in our text in verse 3. In verse 3, he says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." I mean, do you think Paul wanted to be in weakness? Do you think Paul wanted to be in trembling? Did you think he wanted to be in much fear? No, he didn't want to be in those things. No one wants these things. But Paul was determined. He was determined no matter what. He was determined despite what else may happen in life that he was going to continue to serve God in a manner that he would have him to serve. He was determined to be disciplined. He was determined to make the right decisions. Beloved, he was determined to defend those decisions in the direction he was going in. He's determined to own his own defeat. He was determined to have desire in the manner that he should. Beloved, let me tell you this here, lastly, and I'll be done. Success is found when the process is in play, functioning through the plot, but it's settled in the person. It's settled in the person. Back in verse 2 of our text, beloved, the Apostle Paul had said, "Save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul wasn't interested in knowing anything else among those Colossians, among those in the Corinthian church. He wasn't interested in knowing. And when I say no, he wasn't interested in observing anything else. Now, guys, I'm all for the special services that we have. But I believe the most important service, which is probably the least attended in this church and this village, is the Easter service. I had a lost individual tell me 3-4 years ago. I was talking to him, and he goes, "Hey, Beach, how was your Easter service?" I said, "To be honest with you, nobody showed up. I mean, other than our normal, you know, our people. We didn't have any visitors, didn't have anybody pop in." I said, "We did 7,500 leaflets throughout the valley, and not one person came." Now, this guy was lost as a day is long. And I said, I told him, I said, "I don't get it." And this is when I first moved over here. I said, "I don't get it." I said, "Man, we did a Johnny on the spot candlelight service that year, and had a handful show up, amen. I mean, we only, if you remember going back to 14, we only decided to do that Christmas Eve candlelight service like 2 or 3 days beforehand, and we still had people show up. Following year, we had about 90 in here. Every year, we run anywhere between 60 and 90 visitors for the candlelight Christmas service. But not a visitor won for Easter, resurrection. That old boy looked at me and he goes, "Yeah, it's kind of funny, isn't it?" And he said this out of a lost person's mouth. He goes, man, really, you'd think the most important one that they should show up to would be the Easter service, don't you? And I went, yeah. And then I stopped for a second. I went, and he had walked off. He was doing something. And I thought, that just came out of his mouth. You see, my friend, I wonder sometimes if we get caught up, if we get caught up in other things, if we get caught up in the other things of this life. When Paul was preaching to them, he goes, you know what? I determined not to know anything. You could say, I determined not to exemplify. I determined not to see. I determined not to observe anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So my friend, if you're going to stay and keep the plot, and you're going to manage the process and go through the entire program of the Christian mindset, of what it requires to have that Christian mindset, the discipline, the decisions, the direction, the defense, owning your defeat, managing your desire, you're going to have to be determined in the person of whom it sat. So what are you settled into life today? Where are you settled in your Christian walk? Where are you settled in your marriage? Where are you settled in your workplace? Where are you settled in your family? Where are you settled in this life today? Are you trusting in your ability? Are you trusting in your talent? Are you trusting in your family? Are you trusting in your friends? Or are you trusting in your finances this morning? Paul was very clear. He said to these Corinthians, he said, look, in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the spirit spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Beloved, it is imperative in our Christian life, imperative to who and what our determination is settled in. Outside of Jesus Christ, success will not be found. You can have all the great intentions and you can say, I'm going to live a good life. I'm going to talk good, walk good, speak good. I'm going to do all these things. And I'm going to do good things in this world. And if yet you're not determined in Jesus Christ today, it'll all come to naught. I'm going to give you three verses here. They're not going to be on the screen this morning. They're not up there. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 11 with me. These were add-on verses I meant to put on this morning, and I later on put them on the file, but I'd already printed my sermon out, so I've written them down here in my beautiful handwriting. You know I'm joking. But I just want to reiterate this morning how imperative it is, guys, for us to maintain who and what we're and why we are doing the things that we are doing. How determined are you to have the Christian mindset? How determined are you to be disciplined? How determined are you to make the right decisions, take the right direction? How determined are you to own your defeat? How determined are you to choose the correct desire? It's all going to be based on who you're settled into this morning. The Bible tells me in Luke chapter 11 and verse 24. Luke chapter 11 verse 24, it says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. When he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. You see, beloved, this world is not short on good intentions and goodwill. We have every program known to man today to try to clean man up, to make him look good, to make his family try to be right. And hey, we have all of these things, and people out there are doing their dead level best to sweep and to garnish their tabernacle. And they may get rid of that unclean spirit, and it may go out of them. And that unclean spirit may, you know, he gets bored and he walks back and he finds out that this man or this woman is living a good life. They're doing the right things, but they're doing it with the wrong determination. They're trusting in 7-point plans. They're trusting in 4 points to joy, and they're trusting in all these different things. So that unclean spirit goes back and gets reinforcements. And he comes back to that locale that's swept and garnished. It looks good. It's wearing the right clothes. It may be even carrying the right book. Its hair is fixed. It's dressed modest. It's doing all these things that they're told with their tick list they're supposed to do, and that makes them holy. Except they're doing it without Jesus. And the Bible tells me that the last state of that man is worse than the first. My friend, there are three things that are needed for success, and they are a vision, they are a plan, and they are goals. But it's the process in keeping the plot within the person of Jesus Christ in which will bring success in the Christian life. Nothing else, nothing less. So my friend, don't sacrifice the permanent upon the altar of the immediate today. Don't sit back and say, I can take a shortcut, I can continue on, I can press forward, I'll get through this rut in my life. Because my friend, you won't if you're doing it outside of Christ. If you're doing it outside of Jesus Christ, success is not going to be your end, but a state much worse than that which you began. Beloved, you must be determined if you're going to keep the Christian mindset. It's not enough to be disciplined, decisions and directions and owning defeat and having the defense and maintaining your desire. It's not enough for the first six. The seventh is what makes it whole. Seven is God's perfect number, His number of completion. So I challenge you this morning to search your heart. Search your heart in how you are determined in what God has given you to do. Search your heart if you have this seventh element inside the Christian mindset, that of determination. And if you don't have it today, ask for it. Search it out. Ask the Lord to give it to you, and He'll gladly do so. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and who and what you are. We thank you for your word today. And I pray, dear God, that nothing has been said amiss this morning. I pray that hearts and minds have been attentive today. I ask of you, Lord, to please touch our souls. Lord, I pray that you would make a difference in our life. That Lord God, we wouldn't take the last months, over half of this year, Father. The sermons that we've heard on Sunday morning, I pray that we would not just put them aside and forget them. Dear God, that we would complete that circle through this determined mindset to fulfill each and every one of the stepping stones, dear God. I pray that you would guide us and lead us and direct us. I love you and I thank you, Father. I thank you for your patience this morning. And in my folly, dear Lord, and in my failed state as a human being, as a man, I thank you for your grace. I ask these things in my Savior's name, in whom I trust and are settled in today, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I hope and pray God was good to you in the preaching and teaching of His Word this morning. And